Hi, thanks for downloading this. My name's Alex Boardman. I'm a stand-up comedian. I have been for 20 years, and I run the New Comedians Night at the Comedy Store Manchester. On the podcast, we're going to be speaking to all of the acts on the stage tonight at the New Comedians Show. Okay, let's get on with the show. What a dick. So last week's gig went so well, we were awarded a bonus show tonight. We've managed to get about 120 people in, which is amazing considering it's just like a 1 week notice gig. Wasn't even on the website. And the opening act tonight was Freddie Farrell.
Hello.
Hi, Freddie. Another Birmingham act to go on first.
Yeah, who was on last week?
Josh Pugh.
Oh, Josh went on first.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
Do you know what? Whenever I think of some of the Birmingham's got a really strong circuit now for the newer people.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it is. I don't know if there's a particular gig you're all doing in Birmingham, but it just feels like you're all strong enough to do the toughest slot of the night.
Yeah, there's a place called the Roadhouse, which is every Monday, and it's just an open mic new material night, and everyone goes. I saw Josh Pugh's first gig there actually.
So who else is there? There's
everyone just turns up.
Jack Kerwin, who was on last week as well. He's from Wolverhampton,
yeah. And he does a lot of stuff with Andrew McBurney. So they turn up, me, Masai Graham.
Oh, yeah.
Jay Hanley. So everyone just like kind of, there's always dropouts as well. So it's like a meeting place, if anything.
Right.
So you're churning over new stuff, but a lot more regularly.
It feels like if ever I get like a Midlands-y act.
Yeah.
Because first here is tough, often, yeah. 7:30. Also, we're currently in this spell of the hottest weather we've had.
Yeah.
It's about 30 degrees in that room. It's still light outside.
Yeah.
And I couldn't like risk somebody that could have done a bad job there. Yeah. And I thought you did really, really well.
I've got two best men, Steve and Thick Nick. Now, Thick Nick was such a nickname like that. I don't need to tell you what the man is about. It's so obvious. But I'm going to share with you my favourite story about him, because I do feel that everyone in the world does have to know this, and I'm trying to spread the word about the man. Once, he genuinely got locked in Dreams. You know Dreams, the big bed superstore? Genuinely got locked in there once, slept on the floor. It was hot on stage.
Yeah.
Because the lights are closer to you in that room. And
yeah.
It was just like, I could feel my forehead burning.
Well, so you've got a shirt on and a t-shirt on.
Yeah.
And a hat. And a beard. So I'm not totally thinking you're blameless. But you did really well for about 12 minutes and then you kind of asked them one question.
Yeah, so I dipped into the crowd for something and like nobody answered. And I was like,
it was bizarre, wasn't it? Because you'd done really well up to that point, because it was a slow start by me. Again, it's a good job I book it, because I wouldn't get booked again. and you just built him and you got him exactly in the palm of your hand, and I was like, oh, this gig's fine now. And then you asked him, like,
I can't even remember what I asked him.
You said, who's got kids? And then he said nothing. And then you went,
there's like two people, I think.
Who's here in a couple?
Who's in a couple? And there's like four people out of 120.
And they're all sat in couples, just brazenly looking at you, holding hands, just going, we're not saying a word, Farrell.
Yeah, and then I just carried on, and they were like, nah, now he spoke to us, we don't like him.
It was really fun. It's so hot, to give an indication of how hot it is, we've adjusted the format tonight. It's normally a two-half show. After the open spot he went on after you, we just went, well, we've got to stop, because he's sweating buckets.
Yeah, it was really hot up there.
Are you doing Edinburgh or anywhere like that?
No, I'm having, because I've done the last 4 years, three full runs I've done like a 30-minute show with a couple of support acts and then a 40. So I'm having this year off, going on holiday and stuff.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, there comes a point with Edinburgh, and you're probably right at that point as well, where you've done it a few times.
Yeah.
And everybody sort of knows who you are, and you kind of, you forget 200 or 300 comedians have gone to Edinburgh.
Yeah.
August is a really good month.
Yeah.
If you're new and you've been up and people know you are, you can get a lot more gigs in August.
Yeah, diary's okay. But, well, I'm on holiday for some of it as well, though. But
yeah.
Yeah, last year I was just counting down the days to come home and I was like, oh, I think I need next year off.
So are you, you've now, you're kind of beyond a few of these other, like I say, it was a bonus one, so I just picked really strong people for this week. Are you doing 20s everywhere or not?
Yeah, yeah.
And how have you found that transition from open spot to 20?
Yeah, it was, it's okay now because you're doing 20s all the time, so you're used to it now. But when I first started doing 20s, going from that 10 to 20, because there's not many places that does 15s, that people don't think there's that 10-minute gap is a lot, but it's such a jump.
It's huge. That's the toughest jump to make in comedy from open spot to paid 20.
Yeah.
But you're doing it really well and stuff, and I keep hearing good reports. You've got an agent now and everything. So if people want to follow you on Twitter, or have you got a Facebook page?
Yeah, Twitter's, well, just Freddie Farrell, or at Freddie_Farrell.
Right, and you look like a sort of kind of hip-hop dude, don't you? There's like a picture of you, like a lumberjacky kind of, I don't know.
How I'm dressed now?
Yeah. Yeah, because there's loads of Freddie Farrells.
Okay. Yeah, so I've got a beard and a hat.
Beard and a hat, Freddie Farrell. Nice one, Freddie, you did great.
Cheers.
So just to paint the picture of what's happening, now we're sat in the room next to the dressing room because the dressing room is too hot. And there's a little balcony outside where all the audience who've been watching the show are just stood by the canal while having a drink. And they're having a great laugh. They're having the best time ever and we're in the interval. I hope they come back in a good mood. But who could not be in a good mood after seeing Adam Elmy? Hello, Adam.
Hello.
Now, Adam was our second act on this evening. Mm-hmm. And that was your first ever gig?
It's my first gig, like, in the real world, if that makes sense. Like,
yeah, totally.
Until now, it's been, like, student societies and stuff like that.
So are you a student then?
I'm still a student, yeah.
How
yeah.
old are you? Like a
I'm
baby.
21. Yeah.
Wow.
I thought the beard would look me.
No, you look so young, dude. I was worried when I saw you. I was like, oh, no, I hope he's 18, but we won't say anything. So you're 21?
Yeah.
And what are you? Where are you studying?
I'm studying at Birmingham Chemical Engineering.
Oh, another Brummie. So,
yeah.
Are you from Birmingham?
I'm from Birmingham, yeah.
And
yeah.
Is there a comedy society? Because I used to do that gig years ago.
We've got a comedy society at Birmingham called the Footnotes Comedy.
Yeah.
So we just do, like, we do stand-up and we do sketches and stuff like that. So I'm more interested in stand-up kind of stuff.
And this is your first ever venture into...
In the real world.
Where people have paid actual money.
Yeah.
And how do you think it went?
Yeah, I think it went quite well.
I think it went really well. First gig, I mean, absolutely brilliant for a first gig, but for any gig, it was really good.
It went quite well. You know, the audience, they laughed and I didn't forget my lines, which was...
That was a tip somebody gave me when I very first started, because I did it and I was rubbish. Everybody's rubbish when they start.
Yeah.
But when I came off, somebody was sat in the audience and they went, do you know what? I can see you've got jokes, but you don't know them. You need to just learn them and learn them and learn them. But you were word perfect, felt like.
Look, I just like... It's like, even in the student side, like, I've just like, I've had somewhere that didn't work so well. So before this one, I just like practiced it over and over and over again.
Yeah. Well, it was really good. Mm-hmm. Now, you got this really quite an advanced technique for your first gig, especially. Mm-hmm. You were saying to the audience, it was like all tongue in cheek, obviously, but you're saying I'm an engineering student.
Yeah.
So that means I'm better than 90% of you in the room. Yeah.
But the other part of me is I'm a student. Okay. I'm a student, you know, three students as well. Studying engineering. Okay. Which makes me better than 90% of you. Now, let me explain, okay, then. So the hierarchy of society goes doctors, engineers, and everyone else, okay?
And you kept that sort of motif going throughout the bit. Had you tried that as a student?
Like, the first bit that I did, first time I did it was here. Like, I practiced with friends, but I was trying that was here first time. That bit, I'd done it before previously, but I had, like, it was a lot longer, and it was, like, a full 10 minutes.
Right,
just on those three jokes. So what I'd done, I just, like, condensed it all. And
good. But first gig ever, that was, really good. There's so much there you've got, because you did all that stuff about the, you did another great thing where you're talking about being on a diet, and then you were, like, being a donut talking to your body, and you were like walking to other ends of
like
the
me and my body having a conversation.
So, it was great. Who did you have any influences who do you like watching?
So, like, I like a lot of American comedians, like you got Bill Burr, Louis C.K., Hannibal Buress, Anthony Jeselnik, those kind of names, kind of thing. Like, anything on Netflix, basically.
Oh, that's great. I hope you do it, mate, because you were so good. So many advanced techniques there for your first ever gig. It was absolutely superb. If people want to follow you or Facebook you,
I don't have like a proper comedian stuff. So my Twitter is Mohaski, MOHASKI1. Yeah, so Husky One. But like, if people want to find me on Facebook, it's Adam Mohamed Elmi, M-O-H-A-M-E-D. But it's like, I don't have like a proper page or website.
Oh, yet, so. Yeah, fine. You've only done one gig, mate. Yeah, who cares? Yeah. It was brilliant. Thanks, Ad.
Cool. Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, so we tried a new format tonight. It was so hot, we had two acts, and then we had a break. Instead of just having the one interval, we're going to have two. So first on, after our first interval tonight, was Luke Wright.
Hello.
Hiya. You were doing an open spot.
Yes.
But you seemed really accomplished. How many gigs have you done? You must have done a few.
I've kind of lost track, not because I've done a lot, just because I'm bad at counting.
Right.
I made somewhere between 1,800, maybe.
Wow, because you were slick. In the way that you, if stuff came up, you dealt with it instantly, and you moved from topic to topic. It was there were bits, I think you finished, and it was like that feeling of you knew that you'd done a really good joke, and they didn't go for that one last joke at the end, and you just kind of went, oh, whatever. Do you know what I mean? You're wrong, not me, which is really, really.
I appreciate that. Yeah.
Now, you're in the, been doing fives, occasionally doing tens, doing 15s. How's that, what are you finding the most difficult with that?
I don't know, to be honest. I'm quite enjoying the extra time.
Yeah.
Like, five's quite... I've always found five quite difficult because I think you're very much constrained with time with five. You have your material, you've got to get up and do your material. I think if you do long, if you do 10, 15, I quite like it because you get a bit more time to get to know the audience.
So when you first started doing fives, did you have more material than five?
Yeah. My first gig, I think I did about 7.5 minutes.
Really?
When I was on for five.
I think I was booked years ago to do five, and I think I got to about three, and I was like, wow, that's all my material. That's the stuff that I thought wasn't good enough to be my material, and that's other random ideas and stuff that's happening in the room, and I did about three.
I think I'd over-prepared for my first gig. Right. I'd had all these jokes that have been going around my head for ages, and when I finally got to it, I kind of just did them all. And I got off and I was like, oh, that felt like about 5 minutes. It was about 7.5 minutes.
Yeah. You did, because I like the way that you wove some of your material in with a front row of doctors.
I'm so broke, I got a job at a Wetherspoons in Preston. Someone went, oh. Yes. Yeah, so are you junior doctors? Do you work in the ER yet? You done shifts in the ER? You worked in Preston? Oh, you must fucking hate me. No, more than that. It's very fair. It's very diplomatic of you. I'm not particularly snobbish or anything, but at least once a week I have to hear Prosecco, Drambuie, Jack Daniels, and this person's three kids come running up to him.
It's quite unusual. Last week's show.
It's quite weird to have a front row of doctors.
Yeah,
isn't it?
We had a show. I'm wondering if we're on some weird website because the front row last week was five or six pensioners on a stag do. And this week it's on medical students and a heart surgeon.
Someone's just Googled where's good for a day trip.
Yeah. So what's next for you? Have you been to Edinburgh yet? Are you going up?
I did Edinburgh briefly. I did about 3 days last year. I got invited up by Josh Pugh.
Oh, right, yeah. Yeah. Josh Pugh's been in this podcast because more than he was last
me and
week.
Me and him did our very first gig together.
Right.
And he just won English Comedian of the Year, obviously.
Yeah,
and
so are you from the Midlands too?
No, I went to university down the Midlands.
Right.
Okay. Which is why I did my first gig. I've been going about a year and a half, but I did my first gig about two and a half years ago.
Right, okay.
Which is when and that's the thing I tell myself to help myself sleep at night when Josh wins awards. But no, then Josh kind of was like, oh yeah, I'm doing this, doing showcase if you want to come up. So I did. And then I did absolutely awfully. It was terrible. It was so bad. I died on my ass. So I'm not going up this year.
Right, okay.
Not completely because of that. Also,
are you not even bobbing up to watch stuff?
I might do if I find a day. But just, I'll probably go up next year and like, do get three people and do like 15s each.
Yeah, good idea. Great way to start, I think. I think everybody should do that.
Yeah.
So if people, are you on Twitter? Are you on Facebook?
I'm on Twitter, yes.
And
my Twitter handle is @notLukeWright because I'm just the funniest person in the world.
and also there's about a million.
Also because @LukeWright was taken, so I was like, how can I cleverly subvert this? so @notLukeWright.
Right, okay. So, well, Luke.
My tweets are as hilarious as they are infrequent.
Thank you so much for that.
Thank you for having me.
See ya.
Bye.
So our second act in our new second section was the act who has done new comedians the most. One of my favourite new comedians in Manchester, definitely, and I don't know that much the rest of the country, Liam Pickford.
Hello.
Can you see why he's one of my favourites? He's just brilliant, isn't he?
I just said hello and that got slight intrigue.
Got nothing. it's like watching you on stage. So when I first saw you, was at the Witchwood, do you remember?
I do, in Ashton, yeah.
Well, now, the Witchwood's quite a famous band venue. Oasis had done there.
Yeah, yeah, I did most of my underage drinking there.
In that
well.
Place, because you're from Ashton. Mm-hmm. So as I walked in, it was not a great audience, but it was not many people, and it wasn't a good room.
I described them as anathema. Really, utter detritus.
It was a good room for bands and a really bad room for gigs.
It stank. And I remember you went, I thought, who's this mischievous looking Indian girl walking in? And it was you went, oh, it's sticky in here.
That's
and
me.
That was it.
And I was like, oh my God, is that some time traveling Victorian butcher's shop assistant?
Do you remember when you introduced me? He's my favourite Victorian butcher.
Did I?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Like the one time I leave my leather jerkin at home covered in ox blood is the one time.
Do you know what? That's twice anyway. I'm going to start introducing you to that all the time, because that's who you do look like, a sort of Victorian butcher.
Well, I'm going for fade. Did sort of 70s entertainer. Like, yeah. I made it big in the late 50s with the rock and roll movement, and then the Beatles came along, who were just scouse bastards, and then I started doing fets, and then came back to host an early evening BBC One variety show.
Incorporating a meat raffle.
Exactly. I'd love bands. A meat raffle.
I
won some lamb.
Did you?
Once, yeah.
And what did you do with it?
Cooked it. What the
See, what I liked about you when I saw you that first time is you died so badly.
Really horrible, yeah, yeah.
But, like, you know, in one of those ways where you go, I think he's kind of engineered this, because it was... And you still have got that style, haven't you? Very abrasive, very... Some people might like you, some people might not.
Well, you'll know this, especially being the phoning... jongler's paid idiot that
yeah,
you are.
Yeah, well, they're
just worrying so much about people liking you. And I've never had that.
Yeah, because nobody's ever liked you,
nobody,
have they?
Not even my family.
Well, no,
So in order to allay some fears some of you may be having as to me proficiency, stop wobbling, and ability, I brought along a little review that I got to hopefully, you know, boost me. Credentials. I almost smiled. Thank you. Thank you. And that's from the British Stroke Association. Now,
is he drunk again?
What I like about when I watch you is, even as well as it's going, and sometimes I see you be storming it, and you go, oh, he's literally a minute away from just turning this gig. Is that deliberate, or do you just not know what you're doing?
What would be the point otherwise?
It does feel dangerous, doesn't it? It feels a bit punky, like punk music used to feel.
Like, it's not a contrived kind of effort on my part. It's just, I'd get very bored with it. And I find stand-up, like when I started it was all incredibly boring. And just people in T-shirts talking about the mums and stuff. Like, I can talk about meat whilst hammered and shouting at a prick.
in a dead man's suit.
In a dead man. No, Oxfam. I go to Barnabas on Withy High Street now.
Oh, right. I see these gigging's really starting to pay off.
It stinks. Oh. Like, people often say I look like I smell, which is true and accurate, and I wouldn't discourage...
Oh, God, I hope we can find a good clip. There was a bit, you got some fella on stage, that was good.
Well, right, I've got the only one bit I've ever written that has any sort of artistic merit or uses any recognised comedy techniques is a bit about the chicken and the baguette. So I was tapping on the table.
Yeah,
I'm such a rebel.
I know.
Don't tell Pickford not to tap on a table because he fucking
went there with four fingertips.
But yeah, like, and it happened at the most inopportune moment because you build a flow and you build some pace.
Well, you know, you kind of.
I once in my whole life, And he dropped it. So as soon as he walked on, he went, what the fuck is going on here? I think I accused him of domestic violence.
Yeah, you did.
People love
his
that.
His girlfriend
here, though,
was videoing it. She loved it. Well, right, Ross has been in twice to say the second half restarting. And because one of the interviews here, we had to wait 10 minutes to find him because he'd gone to the bar to buy himself a bottle of orange Bulmers.
It's red, you prick.
We've got to go. Oh. So how do people follow you or whatever? Are you on Twitter?
Just leave me alone.
Yeah, don't. Don't bother.
Follow me. I have nothing.
Don't bother. If you want to see Liam Pickford and stuff, I think he's going to probably be in Asda tomorrow.
Yeah.
He'll probably be on some market
Stamford
Tuesday.
Park.
Yeah, he'll be in a park.
Wilkinson shouting at the pens.
See you, Pickford.
See you, mate.
So, new format, new show. I think we're going to keep the format. The final act on, in a bizarre twist, I hate the word meta, so I'm not even going to do it. Producer Richard Massaro, was booked for this gig anyway, and you closed the show.
I know. Hello.
This is Richard.
I finally get to speak into one of the microphones rather than just sat off to the side.
And all this audience we've built up over 4 and 5 weeks is instantly just clicking off.
Yep. They're like, oh my God, nepotism. No. Click down.
So what is going to be interesting is what clip you choose of yourself. How are you going to work that?
Well, first of all, I'm going to find a bit where they laughed really hard at someone else.
Boost the audio and echo it. Yeah.
All of a sudden, there'll be a round of applause. It'll sound like there are 7,000 people in the room.
Well, if you were not the producer of this show, there would be the two bits that I think went really, really well. Well, the one bit definitely was when you just stumbled upon those people having an affair.
That sort of thing. Give me a cheer if you're in a relationship. Give me a cheer if you're single. Okay, now give me a cheer if you're currently cheating on your current partner. Whoa, motherfucker. That's the meanest thing I've ever heard anyone. See, this is the thing, look at him, he's hanging his head. He's not the one you're cheating, he's the one you're cheating with. Are you actually here on an affair right now? Is that genuinely true? Fuck, no, don't, look, hey, look, fine, deal with it, but all of, jeez. This bit of material took a really weird turn. I've had people jokingly go...
Oh, good God. I don't even know if that's 100% true, but I genuinely think it might be.
Well, do you know what's interesting as well? Because I was at the back of the room for that. They were definitely having an affair because they were digging each other when it happened and she was heading hands. Now, in the earlier section, there was a really attractive woman went to the bar with black hair and I mentioned, said something to her. And I was talking to her in the interval and stuff like that and she was being like weird.
Yeah.
You know, like when somebody's like too drunk and too happy.
Yeah.
I
never trust people.
It was not at 8:30 on a Sunday. It was just weird. And anyway, when you said it to that couple, they also were giving each other proper looks and doing that kind of argument.
Sunday
like,
New Comedians, the prelude to illicit extramarital sex.
We were saying earlier that it's like there's a weird, like, because we had the pensioners in 1 week, and then this week we've got the doctors in the front row. But now it seems we're kind of like a dogging site or something, or maybe just an affair site.
Yeah.
Don't know. Hopefully this podcast...
Ashley Madison recommends the Groupon.
Yeah,
Ashley Madison Groupon.
That's what it is.
To the comedy store on a Sunday.
So, right, I've got a proper question for you.
Okay.
Then. Whatever clip you've put, you probably put that clip in. There was another bit that went really well. There's lots
I wasn't 100% sure how well I handled it, but I knew I had a halfway decent bit of material to come after it.
No, you did good.
Which is very new, that bit of material as well.
The thing is, I've cheated before. That's the reason I'm single right now. I cheated on my last partner. I don't know why I did it. I'm trying to understand the reasons I did. I was talking to a friend of mine about it, and he said these words to me. He said, Richard, I wouldn't care if my girlfriend cheated on me as long as I never found out about it. I said, so she's got a quantum vagina. He went, what do you mean? I said, well, she's got a box, and there could be a dick in that box. It's either alive or dead. But you won't know until you look inside the box. So she's got Schrodinger's twat. It's one for the theoretical physicists in the room. But I like to take heart from the fact that we live in an infinite universe with an infinite number of parallel dimensions, and in one of those alternate realities right now, there is an audience in this room fucking loving that joke. I've just got to find him.
Right, here's a question then, serious question. Why are you not doing better than you are? Because you've been going a while. Your stuff's really, really good. How long did you do? 20 minutes?
20.
15 minutes of that is just anybody that's on the circuit now could do that stuff. You wouldn't know it wasn't theirs. It's really well written. It all comes back in a lovely circle. There's jokes at every level. What is it? Are you too busy doing other things?
No, it's ironically lack of confidence in my material and a complete inability to do admin.
Admin.
I didn't realize.
Do you not like, because your material's real, of that 20 that you did, 15 of that is like, I could do that this week and tear a gig apart.
But, I always I'm like, it's not good enough, it's hacky. Like, I'm trying not to talk about sex so much. I feel it's a subject that has been covered quite a lot. And a lot of feedback I've often got is that, I don't know, I always kind of like feel like I get this feedback that just goes, yeah, it's good, but it's not quite there yet.
I think it's your delivery. I think your delivery's good and fine and professional, but I don't think you're being... don't think you own your material enough when you're performing it. You give that material to loads of the comics who are making a living with it, and they'd smash those jokes.
Right.
You've got some really great jokes, and you just...
You're not
even throwing them away, and it's deliberate. It's just like, you feel like you're backing out of them, and it's just somebody needs to sit you down, and I'm doing it now. That stuff's good enough to be getting... You should be making a living doing this.
Well, that's all I want to do.
We'll get your performance level up a bit.
Well, this is the thing I often get, like, the one thing I've always been told is that, like, my stage, being on stage is, I've got that nailed. And I've been an actor since I was 15 years old.
Yeah,
I've been on stage.
That's what you are. You are an actor.
I understand that, yeah, this is my problem.
You're not a comic. We watch you on stage, right? And you go, you could be a brilliant presenter of a TV show, because you look like a TV show presenter. Very handsome. Right.
As Steve Bennett once said.
You look like it. You do look like a TV presenter. Mm. You could do that easily.
Yeah.
You're really comfortable. You can do... It's like you're going through the motions like an actor who... Pickford, who was the actor that was on before you.
Yeah.
Right? With his...
Incredibly naturally funny.
Totally naturally funny. His style's all over the shop. His material, some of it, he wants to be liked. Some of it wants to be hated. Mm. He encompasses everything. Your material is like weekend club good, and your performance is not bad, but it's not quite good enough.
Yeah, I'm trying to find my voice. Like Dave Longley, who I absolutely adore, gave me a big talking to about it all, and he's just like, it's all shit because you're not being you on stage. And
yeah,
I'm trying to find that.
Do you know what you did? You did a bit. You got mugged this week.
Yeah.
He lives in Moss Side. You got mugged and you said before, oh, I was just wondering if I should say this. And you just said it off stage. And it was really funny. It was really funny. And then you did it. It got a massive laugh.
Yeah.
But that's you. And you've got that. And you've got a real good writing ability. Maybe you just need to loosen up with your stuff.
Mm.
That can sometimes be a problem with...
That is a worry about performing rather than talking, because stand-up comedy is a one-way conversation.
Yeah.
And there are acts who are very theatrical and very performing. I mean, even like Stuart Lee is in a way a very theatrical and performance-based act.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's something that I'm constantly trying to work on, and something I'm constantly making notes about, is that I do feel sometimes that I am performing rather than talking.
Yeah, yeah. I just wonder if you should just loosen it up. Just totally try it. Because your writing's so good and strong, and you've clearly written it to be... Well, do you know what? Just take out all the setups that get you to the punchline. Hey. And just put the punchlines in. And just try and get your own way to the punchline. Yeah. In a natural way, that might do it. And if not, address each bit of material to a specific member
of the audience.
That might do it. And then if not, change the order of your stuff.
Yeah.
And start...
Well, I, d- Yeah, today I was trying a new order of and trying just a couple of new bits and a few bits reworded and a few of the older bits just changed the order of it in the way I would normally say them, because I think that certain bits, I quite like dark humour. I always have. I like dark humour and I like dirty humour, but you can't constantly be like that. My problem was when I first started is that I was very much kind of like, whoa, here's a filthy joke and I'm going to be dark and edgy. Yeah. And it took me 4 years to go, you're a prick. Like, you can't just go on and just be like, dark and edgy, because my writing wasn't up to it and it's still not. And it's just a process. I love the way that usually for these interviews, you're like, so how did you start? And then for this one, has been an 8 minute 47 seconds of you going, right, so your writing's great, but you shit on stage.
No, you're not shit. That's the problem. But if you were, it'd be fixable, easy. It's like that little, you know, when you're learning to swim and you've got the float.
Yeah.
Well, it's like you should be swimming miles better, but you just won't let, you just need to loosen up. Yeah. Have you get drunk?
I'm not a big drinker. My dad's teetotal. I grew up in a teetotal household.
You need to find a way. It's really easily fixable because you've got all the tools that other people would kill for. There's people on the circuit who are brilliant performers who've got material half as good as that, and they're making a fortune doing it. Meanwhile, you're the producer of a podcast.
Well, there's nothing wrong with it.
The thing is,
I love podcasting. Like, I remember listening to the Terry Alderton comedian podcast, and he was like 10 years in, and he was just completely unhappy with the way it was. And then
Terry Alderton, by the way, if you don't know, he's a Southend-based comic. He's a Comedy Store regular, probably the most unfollowable act on the circuit.
Yeah.
I don't think there's three or four people you'd always say you don't want to go on after. Andy Askins, you don't want to go after Phil Nichol, and both of those have got guitars.
Yeah.
The one who I had to choose never, ever, ever, ever to have to follow, especially at the Comedy Store in London, would be Terry Alderton. Yeah. Unfollowable.
But he said like there was a period of time where he was 10 years in and he just wasn't, like, nothing was working, and then he literally threw everything out. And went away and started again, but like,
and Louis C.K. famously did that.
Yeah, and Louis C.K. does it. So I suppose I'm constantly stirring, and eventually I'll find that mix that is me on stage.
Yeah, maybe,
because I'm used to saying other people's words and being somebody else up there.
Maybe that's what it is.
And it's very awkward to try and find yourself.
This is the most depressing fucking podcast.
You have got me at the end of quite a difficult week. I have been mugged this week. And then I was here. I did my first open eight on Friday for the Comedy Store.
Right.
And they're so nice to me here. And part of me is like, I just doesn't understand why. And that might be part of my problem with why I'm not better on stage.
Yeah, yeah. You need to get your ego up and get your performance up.
I do not need a bigger ego.
I think you do. If anybody listening to this, they'll all be sat there going, oh, I want to give Richard a hug. You don't. He's a horrible person.
I'm an utter cunt. Don't be fooled by anything. But there is not a single day that I do not think I should just quit and give it up. It's been 6 years of my life I've been throwing at this. But I don't want to ever give it up because I can remember the first gig I did, and it's new comedians, we may as well talk about it. The first gig I did, when I got my first laugh, it was as if every time I'd been on stage, that was what I'd been going on stage for, and I'd finally found it.
Yeah.
And it was just like, don't stop chasing this, because that's what you want from life. And when I first started, I did that bloody podcast at the Preston Frog.
I heard about that. Yeah.
Yeah, the Frogcast. It was a good idea. I've always loved podcasts. I was listening to them before I got into comedy. And I love this format. I love the freedom it kind of gives you. You can do anything you want on your own terms. There's no one controlling it. You're the person who edits it, who censors it. And the 300, 400 odd people who download and listen to this we're going in their ears. They've sought us out and they keep on coming back.
Like, yeah. No, it's good. And I think a lot of those are new comedians. And that's who it's aimed at.
Yeah.
Hopefully, if anybody can
and
listen,
I hope
anyone
it's comedy
like
buffs
it
as well. And we're hoping, we're hoping to bring you guys more content. Stay tuned.
You're such a dick.
I can't help
You're
it.
Such a cock.
I am the cock. I am, but it's embracing my dickishness.
Here is some advice then.
Here we go.
Right, there's a comedian who he kind of, I think he's on this circuit as well, but he also does the after dinner circuit mainly. He does a lot for Everton Football Club called Jamie Sutherland. Right. Now, I heard about this about 4 years ago, 5 years ago, when he was a new comedian.
Yeah.
And what he did, he wanted to do it and he wasn't quite working for him because he wasn't getting enough gigs. He wasn't doing any. He booked himself 2 gigs a day in Blackpool and he was doing he just booked himself any gig he could. And he said, this summer, instead of going to Edinburgh or whatever, I'm going to spend 2 or 3 months gigging to every kind of room that I can. So he was doing old people's homes. He was doing terrible, terrible rock hard rooms in places like Blackpool.
Yeah.
He put himself in for every open spot. He made notes as to what worked and what didn't work. And at the end of it, he came out and it was like a Rocky montage. And he just went from being somebody that wasn't doing it
to
he just went, in 3 months, I'm going to do it. And he just did it. And that's all you have to do. You just have to do it. And
well, that is the one thing I notice about the comedians I look at who became successful, like Milliken and Chris Ramsey and people like that, is when you see their work ethic.
Yeah.
And it's that.
Twice, Bishop, all of them, Manford. Yeah. Jimmy Carr more than anyone.
Yeah, their absolute work ethic. And I know so many comedians who are utterly great and who, like me, are terrible at admin and terrible for asking for gigs. And then they have that usual complaint. And as a new comedian, you guys don't understand this, of just going, like, oh, well, I haven't got any gigs and this person won't gig me. I'm not gigging for this person. I'm not gigging for that person. Because you haven't bloody emailed them.
Yeah, part with that. And also, as well, if you do well on the stage, no promoter in the country won't book you, because if that audience are clapping and laughing at everything you say and cheer when you go off and go, that was brilliant, they know it's that simple. Yeah. It's so easy. It's like Marcus Rashford at Man United. He's a kid. He comes on, he scores 2 goals. Next game, scores 2 goals.
Yeah.
He's going to make it. You just have to at some point go, it's my responsibility to smash these gigs.
Yeah.
You're good enough to just sort yourself out.
I think we might have to put this out as a separate podcast of just like advice.
Just you.
just advice to new comedians.
Do you know what's really bad is I've promised my little lad I've got to go and catch Pokemon in the park now as well at like 11 o'clock at night.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, it's brilliant, but I'm going to be like, sorry I was a bit late because Masara was fannying about.
Fannying around, mate.
Just do it. It's that simple. Right, have you got... you've got a website or anything?
I'm on Twitter, at Rich Masara, RichMassara. And I've got a Facebook page.
Brilliant. Right.
And you can, of course, follow our podcast.
Yeah, follow the podcast. And also get on to Rich on Twitter, everyone, and give him some shit and tell him to stop.
Fucking tell me to buck my ideas up.
It's that simple. Just pull your socks up. Yeah. You can do it.
And at the same time, you listeners absolutely love you. And me and Alex really appreciate everything you've been doing.
Wait.
I want them to rate and review us on iTunes because that helps us in the rankings. If you're on your phone right now, just go to bloody iTunes and give us 5 stars.
Yeah, come on. I've already liked and reviewed it. My son's liked and reviewed it.
I noticed that.
Right, Masara, thank you very much.
No worries, Alex. Cheers.
Thank you for downloading the New Comedians podcast. I've been Alex Boardman. You can follow me on Twitter at @AlexBoardman. Big thanks to The Comedy Store for hosting us on the third Sunday of every month. Don't forget to rate and review us on iTunes. The producer was Richard Masara.
Bye!
Bye!